Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ozzie Guillen.
By the captain of the boat.
Former White Sox manager.
I mean, I don't know how much payment I was.
ESPN Deportes.
I'm going to watch the All-Star game? Hell no.
Talking the latest around Major League Baseball. Ozzie Guillen.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Ozzie Guillen joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Ozzie. How are you?
Good morning, Ozzie.
Good morning, guys. One day later, but I'm here.
Better late than never.
We'll take it. So help us out, Ozzie. Adam Eaton wasn't popular among his teammates. That's not breaking news, but you left no doubt as to who most people would take in that battle.
Well, you know, when you're doing what I'm doing, the long you're not lying to people, you always be all right. The long you're honest, I think what happened out there, I think it was little childhood, you know, I think they don't have to be talking about that in Twitter or whatever. You know, when I grew up, what it happened in the clubhouse, stay in the clubhouse and not go out there talking back and forth each other. I always say you have a problem, resolve your problems the way you want to, but now with the media, and that's why I was a little upset about it. And what I say, it was true. You know, I do my research, and I know that. By the way, I know all this not just a couple of days ago. I know this since all these things start happening, and I know what I was saying. I know the truth. I know a lot of people calling me to ask me questions, especially for New York, and I don't want to talk about the case because it's not my problem, but I'll say what I have to say because I know I was 100% right.
This segment with Ozzie Guillen is brought to you by Gillette Skin Guard, designed to stop shaving irritation. And Ozzie, nobody doubts that you're going to give it to him straight because that's the way you operate. That's the way you have always operated. So when you look at the White Sox now, after Lucas Giolito's gem last night in Houston, where are the Sox? Do they have reason to believe that 500 is a realistic goal?
Well, 500 is not too far away. You know, the White Sox can be thinking about 500. I don't, because when you say, okay, let's get to 500, it's like, okay, whatever, we finish 500. I know it's a big deal compared to what they did in the past. But I say, like, they're like, okay, guys, we're going to do this. We sacrifice, I think it's big steps, but I don't think they should be thinking about 500 or over or under. They should go out there and say what they have the best. Like I say, every day, every week, the team is very confused. You know, when you play well a couple of days, when they're going to play Houston, we say, like, well, they're going to get swept there. Hopefully they get one. They're going to face the best pitching staff, the best team in the American League. And all of a sudden, the night after that, they go to Minnesota. And I say, you know what? Be careful. You know, they might split that thing, and thank God they did. But, you know, I think you see Giolito yesterday. You know what I mean? You're talking about those guys and how they played last couple of games. It gives you so excitement and think about it. All of a sudden, a couple of days later, we have to wait. You know, the White Sox right now is like Chicago weather. You got to say, just wait a minute. Yeah, just wait a minute to see what happens because I know. I said that yesterday in the show. I said, you know, make it easy for Rick Hahn and Renteria to see what kind of move they're going to make in the future. They're going to add players or they're going to restrict players. And I think right now they're in that position. Like, they get you so excited all of a sudden. They disappear for a couple of days, and I think they're just kind of waiting. But you see your little pitch yesterday. I always said that. I said this kid got the best stuff out of that staff. Not because he pitched well yesterday. It's just because he does. You know, he got a great fastball, good changeup. I think his mechanic helping to get what he is right now. It was amazing. And I was very happy to Rick Renteria and Coop. Don't even talk to him to finish the inning. You know what I mean? They're not asking how you feel, nothing. They're just like, hey, go get it. And I love that. I love that because that creates confidence, that creates more better stuff for the future, for the pitchers. And that was great to see.
Ozzie, when you look at Charlie Tilson hit a grand slam the other night, and then he came back and scored a run, I think, yesterday. he's been pretty good since he's come up. And you look at a guy like James McCann, who they brought in, and it was probably kind of a stopgap, maybe kind of someone to help out second catcher, and he's been really good. Are these guys part of the future? What determines whether you're part of the future? Is it other guys coming up, that sort of thing? How do you judge in a rebuild who's a keeper and who isn't?
You owe me $20. You mentioned that. I hate that word rebuild. They've been doing that for the last 10 years. We rebuilding. But then you know what? To me, in a winning team, Tilson will be a great fourth outfielder. Great. I think this kid, I love players when they have a lot of speed. They go out, do their job, move the guy over, steal spaces, make a good plays defensively. And McKinnon, you know, I mean, this guy, the pitching staff got better when McKinnon's behind the plate and do what he's do. And it surprised me, I guess, Verlander. He catched Verlander in the past. He knows what's in the lineup. But in the meanwhile, I think this kid, the future about it, they got a couple catches down the minor league that they should be in the big league playing every day. McKinnon's the guy going to fit better, teach those guys. I will keep him for a little while to see what we're going to do and what he can do. And you never know, you know what I mean? What's our future? We don't know. What's the future? We've got to wait to see what they do this year after the All-Star break. Then they're going to decide who's coming in, who's coming out, what they're going to, what player we're going to keep. And that's very important. And I think those two guys, I should have it on my team if that's going to come the future.
Meanwhile, Ozzie, the Cubs split with the Phillies, and that series feeling a lot different than the White Sox did after their split with the Astros. John Lester struggled for the second straight outing. Do you think that's just one of those things that a pitcher of his age is going to go through at times, and he has gone through in the past, and no level of concern? Or what would be your level of concern if you're a Cubs fan?
That was a hiccup. You know what I mean? Obviously, when you're a White Sox Cubs fan, they panic right away. That's a hiccup. This guy is amazing. What he does every outing, we holding our breath, like, oh, what are you gonna do? And all the song he come out, get you 7 innings every year. Last few years, he went through that. You know, he lost it. You know, he pitched well, then a couple games he pitched not good enough. But I think this guy is a veteran. He know what he's doing. He did in the past. I think the long is not hurt. You know what I mean? I think this guy is gonna be great, and he's a great leader. I love it. I love him to see him pitch because he's old school guy. He go there, give me the ball. I'm going to do the best. I'm going to do it. Reminds me a little bit of Mark Burley. Like, give me the ball. I don't care what's going to happen. You know, see him after the game, like, making an excuse, anything. You know what I mean? He's a truly pro, a truly ace. And he just hiccuped yesterday game. I think he will be bounced back.
When we start talking about the Cubs and where they're at right now, obviously that expectation level is different than it is for other teams. And you see St. Louis is kind of heading the wrong way in that division. But the Brewers are sticking around. I mean, it's awful early to be talking about that sort of thing. But they have so many moving parts and so many guys doing different things, including, you know, a lot of MVP candidates and a lot of guys for team MVP. How do you create expectations for the teams you have? How do you know that, you know, this is a team that's going to be a division winner and a playoff team and maybe a World Series team?
Oh, it's one thing. They're not going to win the division is they have a few players. You know, you talk about two players getting hurt. They have so many good depth. It's amazing. You know, you can see any player. You can see one pitch a pinch yesterday, get a base. You know, they got so many great things around. I like it because they got some great things. Their second baseman, they don't do anything at all for last month, and they even talk about that. The bullpen, they only talk about bullpen. Yes, because that's the only thing we can see is a little weak. But I think the longer you have the starting rotation healthy, the longer you have that those guys in the lineup, I think they'll be fine. They're going to get rest. But I worry about Jelish. You know what I mean? He's been sore back. You know, his back is about him. And that could be a plus for the Cubs. But I think the Cubs will win the division. There's no doubt about it.
Ozzie, going back to your comments about Adam Eaton, and we talked the other day at NBC Sports Chicago. I was talking to you about players that you manage that maybe you didn't get along with, and you said they, basically you got along with everybody. And I just wondered, when you have a guy like Eaton and he hears this stuff after the fact, does every team have a guy like Adam Eaton in the clubhouse? And how difficult can it be for a manager when you have somebody who is maybe always chirping or somebody who is maybe not as popular in the clubhouse as you might think?
Well, you know, we call it the clubhouse lawyers. Mm. You know, that's what that is. One thing about it, I don't have a, you know, I really don't have that problem with that many players because I let them do something and I got veteran players that will take care of that. You know, I'm managing Carl Everett, you know, one of the hardest players to ever manage in the past. And Carl with me was very respectful, very, you know, he played hard. He was in charge in the clubhouse. I'm managing AJ Brzezinski. He's nobody liking him in the clubhouse and I love him. You know what I mean? He does. You know, so many people got AJ the wrong way. And, you know what I mean? Obviously, in the past, everybody hated AJ in San Francisco, Minnesota. He come down here. He made good friends. It's not easy. It's not easy because that guy can make the clubhouse better or the clubhouse very, very, very bad. And I think what happened in the clubhouse with Eaton, people just got tired of his act. And, you know, I don't say this guy was a grinder. He played hard. He played great for the White Sox to give everything they have for the organization and for the fans and for the team. But, behind the scene, it was, you know, was too welcome in the group.
Great stuff, Ozzie. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ozzie. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Take care.
That is, of course, Ozzie Guillen. Always a joy to talk to him and always fascinating to get his
It's fun to get his perspective just on dealing with difficult players.
Eaton, nobody like you.
That's the greatest.
It is the greatest.
The direct message to Adam Eaton. That's the best part.
Just like if anybody had any doubt about where Ozzie stood on this little squabble between Todd Frazier and Adam Eaton, no more.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
We've lost a leader in Drake, which is crazy enough as a 14-year-old if you look at that, but the kid was so tremendous.
I'd like to see all the documents that are hidden in Washington. And there's people starting now to be... I heard yesterday there's some group, I forget the group, has been investigating extraterrestrial visits, whatever. I need some proof. I need some proof. It's been a mystery forever. I've always been very interested. I did have a book when I was a kid about UFOs and things like that. It was a very interesting topic to me. I find it hard to believe that we're the only existing life form. But I do. I would like to see proof.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670, the score.
What was that?
I would like that. That was Don Cooper, the White Sox pitching coach, was asked. They had a question with him where they asked him if there was life on other planets.
Just in conversation?
Pitchers
are otherworldly. Or, I mean, how does that come up?
Well, I think...
They do the thing on the broadcast where they do the quick question.
Okay.
You know, where they'll talk to
quick
question.
Like one thing with...
Wasn't a quick answer, but it was a quick question.
Usually it's Rick Renteria, though. That's the one who...
They do a question.
Extraterrestrial visits, whatever.
Rick Renteria. I'd like to see the paperwork they're hiding in Washington. On everything.
I would like to see proof.
Okay.
I do need proof, but I do believe. Do you believe in life on other planets?
Well, I don't. I would like to see proof, but I don't discount it.
Do you believe in extraterrestrials?
To discount
I find it hard to believe that we're the only existing life form.
Well, there are like bugs and animals.
Yeah, I don't know that I've given it. Everyone has given it probably a little bit of thought. I would think that it'd be kind of silly to rule it out as a possibility.
At my house.
I need some proof.
Yeah. Thanks, Coop.
There were
I'm sure Coop just
robin,
loves us doing this.
A robin put like a little nest, like it's really outside the front door, kind of up on this little ledge. There was a nest there, and there three little birds were born, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which was delightful. The kids kind of, my daughters found it and they were taken, they got a, what do you call it, a selfie stick?
So they got a little video of the little birds, like beep beep beep, you know, just barely chirping.
What were they doing again?
And they were cheep cheep cheep. Okay, they were talking about the way I spend money. Cheep cheep
cheep cheep cheep.
And then you saw the bird come back and feed them a worm and stuff, and it was really exciting for a day.
That's nature.
Yesterday you come home and there's like two dead chicks right outside the front door. I don't know what happened, but one was still clinging to life and moving around. So we had to move it back into the nest. There's no way that thing made it, right? It was in bad shape and it was bleeding from the fall. But you don't like, so I was looking it up, like these birds, they don't know what they're doing, or they don't like, there's something wrong with the other one, but it's not like they wouldn't kill their own, right? Because they're animals and it's nature. But the one did, it was a fatality.
I need some proof.
So, but they looked like aliens, and I was contemplating, because they're little bodies, and they're like the giant head, they're just not grown, and there's, you see a little hair. It was really weird.
Little E.T. looking
and
thing,
creatures. It went through my head, like, wow, you know, I wonder if there's life on other planets. And then I see Coop, and
I find it hard to believe that we're the only existing life form.
He has the same issues I do.
You and Coop have a lot
in
common.
Is there intelligent life out there? Yeah.
Texts are getting on me for not knowing that they were asking the question. I've seen the ask Rick one question with Rick.
Quick question.
Yeah, the quick question. And I get a kick out of that because Renteria plays along very well when Jason Benetti asks him those questions. Coop got into it as well. That's good. Participation's a good thing.
Do you prefer the quick question or Sox math on the telecast?
I like the quick question.
I prefer the quick question. Sox math, a little too much, like, you know, a little too far sometimes to go like long walk.
You guys are writers, not math guys.
Well, it's not that. It's, I grew up on the South Side, and I know that there's a lot of people that are taking off their shoes and socks trying to do some of that arithmetic.
Kevin, you sound like you're a Sox math fan then.
I wouldn't say that necessarily. Yeah. I am horrible math wise.
Are you really?
Horrible,
is that why you
horrible
didn't get
most
into
things,
engineering? Did that end your
that
science
was it.
Career?
I wanted to be an astronaut when I was a kid, and then I realized it was all math.
Is that why you never pay a bill?
So now I push buttons and speak into a microphone.
Is that why so many collectors are coming for you?
Oh, is that why?
I don't know.
Sometimes
it.
Tell me
it's
if,
the math.
If you have the same reaction when I hear Renteria answer that one question. I want him to go on a little bit more.
Yeah.
I want to know more about.
I want
about,
a follow up.
Yeah, I want to follow up. I want to hear him expand a little bit.
That
on
would be great for the broadcast.
I got to do about 162 of them, so you don't want to get too far in depth. You got to save some for the rest of the year.
But he's got to talk 162 times, you know?
But wouldn't it be good if they had
if lucky.
A quick question and then David's extended follow-up?
I'd have to go to every Sox game, though.
Well, that would be the problem.
And I wouldn't go to every Sox game because that's not something that, you know.
Why wouldn't you go to every Sox game? Because the Tribune doesn't cover them?
I didn't
God,
say that.
I got to tell you, but
I didn't say that. It,
you know, I don't know. In the old days, when I was working the Agate Desk 100 years ago, you would get calls from fans that would be angry because they would have the ruler out and they would be checking how much you're covering one team versus covering the other. The last two mornings, I pick up my Tribune and, you know, we actually get the paper delivered. And they're one day behind in the game story. And it happened again today. Really? Lucas Giolito? I'm going to have to read about that tomorrow? I got to buy myself a Saturday Tribune to find out what happened in Thursday night's game. Is that possibly acceptable in this modern era? And why not? And I'll volunteer.
Okay.
You want me to watch the game and just write up a few paragraphs?
Would
so you
do
have
that
some?
Tonight?
The game ended at like
tonight.
It was like 9:30.
Although tonight you got the Saturday deadline, so it's going to
be
even probably a little bit
I'm
tougher.
I'm on the road. I'm
going to write pro bono.
Well, somebody ought to cover the blessed White Sox.
That's how much
love
you love the Sox, Kevin.
What a concept.
No, it's just it's outrageous that you can't cover
the Sox for free.
They're in the building now. I'm going to have to walk over there after the show.
Check
just
me
have a
out.
Word.
Check me out, Lucas Giolito. 9 innings, ready, Molly? 9 strikeouts.
What?
1 walk.
Where?
277 earned run average.
That is
wow.
crazy.
Yeah. First career complete. So you don't need the newspaper. The updates that barely exist in this town.
Still need the
we'll
newspaper.
Tell you all about, yeah,
come
I know.
On. Come on, Grody.
I know. Yeah. We all still read the newspaper.
Yeah, but and
the point's well taken.
To the texter who says, the mama bird will attack you, Molly. Dump that nest. Believe me, that's all I want to do. And but you know I've got children that have now you know oh the poor bird is the bird gonna make it like I hope not because I don't want it. I don't want it coming home. Right? This is our.
So
home.
You're hoping for the bird's demise?
I don't want squatters in my house.
All right.
PETA on line one.
Yeah.
That's a blessing. Like I said, it was a shocker. Man, I would have never expected that because all the great players that, you know, came through these doors, man, it's just a blessing. And I thank whoever, you know, made me and put me on there, I thank him for it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. When a guy's on a top 100 list and he doesn't believe he should be there, isn't that kind of a telling moment? Let's get out to Rich Campbell. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Rich, of course, covering the Bears for the Chicago Tribune, and they have their own top 100 list coming out, which Rich can tease a little bit. Good morning, Rich. How are you?
Morning, Rich.
I'm great, guys. Yeah, I wasn't around for the Ookie Miller era, the Bronco Nagurski era. Maybe like Don Pearson probably caught the tail end of it.
Wow!
But yeah, we've had a lot of fun at the Tribune watching their list come out because, as you guys know, there are no person is more qualified than Don Pearson and Dan Pompey. We would have loved to have those two Tribune alums help us with our list, but instead we have the fun of comparing ours as ours comes out beginning next week.
And how do you think you're faring? You obviously know what the list is. Did you include Eddie Jackson?
So Eddie is on the fringe. Eddie is on the fringe. We had a very long discussion about how to consider some of the very good players, you know, the all-pro players on the current roster, trying to give the list some staying power. You know, there's a great chance that in 5 years, Khalil Mack's in the top 50, maybe the top 30, but what do you do with them after 1 year when he showed up September 1st? So those were some of the questions that we had to go through. We are, if you put the list side by side, more than half of our list is within 10 spots. You know, over 50 players are within 10 spots, one way or the other, of Dan and Don's list. So I felt good about that because, you know, I kind of consider there's the answer key. Although we have some important differences, things that we made a point to discuss, and I'll give you one example. Who do you have higher, Brandon Marshall or Alshon Jeffrey? That's one that I could at least speak to because I covered both of those guys here. I felt very strongly that Brandon was ahead of Alshon, and that is how he ended up on our list. That is not how he ended up on Dan and Don's list, and so I will stand by ours on that. I'd be interested to hear what you guys think about that particular case. I just thought Brandon on game day, you know, between Monday and Saturday, there were some negatives. On game day for those 3 hours, he was an awesome player.
I'd take Tom Waddle.
Tommy didn't make our list.
Rich,
receiving votes.
You heard Chuck Pagano the other day. We heard from Eddie Jackson. What was your biggest takeaway from the OTAs this week?
I think that the defensive transition is not going to be as smooth as it would be in an ideal world, that it's just naturally going to take time for these players to grasp fully the terminology that Chuck Pagano is installing here. And I think it was portrayed initially that Chuck was going to adopt Vic Fangio's terminology and really try to incorporate that, you know, what the players were comfortable with. I think it's more Chuck. I think Chuck isn't bringing his own defense. He's having these players change over. I think it's going to be better in the long run because of that. But in the meantime, I mean, even Eddie Jackson on Wednesday said there are times in these OTAs when players are making old calls. They're using the old terminology, and they've got to catch themselves and recalibrate. I just think everybody should recognize this, and let's not pretend it's going to be completely seamless. That's unrealistic. Eventually, the talent and the defense should overcome it, but it might not be till midseason. We'll see.
Yeah, you know, I felt all along that there were a couple of interesting things going on. I think you're right. The talent will overcome all, but they're in a transition. They're changing some terminology. Chuck's learning some things. He also hasn't been a play caller in a while. I mean, he's been a head coach, but not a play caller, and that's a little bit different too. So it is, in the long run, maybe it'll be fantastic, but there's definitely going to be a period of adjustment.
The play calling issue that you mentioned is huge, because that was what Vic took the most pride in.
Right.
And people who were familiar with his processes on game day talked about Vic obsessing from down to down over the perfect call. And that sometimes, you know, maybe a call comes in late just because Vic is just so wrenched about the perfect play call. I'll be really interested to see Vic's big play card as a head coach on the sideline. He'll have to probably hold it with two hands. The thing is so big when he's in Denver this year. So for Pagano, I think it's a great point. So within those play calls, some of the elements that we have to keep an eye on is how much are they rushing Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd, and how much are they dropping those guys into coverage? When we talked on Wednesday to new outside linebackers coach Ted Monachino, we brought this up because, of course, with Leonard's ability to run and move, and you know, he was playing almost as a cover guy at times at Georgia, Vic liked to use him that way. And they would drop Khalil Mack in coverage at times. Well, how much are they going to get these guys continuing to go forward and maybe even increase some of the pass rush presence for those guys? Those are going to be the differences that are worth watching.
Where are we with the kicker derby? I know they had eight guys at the camp. It's pared down to three. Was there as much attention paid to what they were doing during the practice, or was that going to take a while to develop and see what's next?
The way they handled it on Wednesday when we were there was not like rookie camp, where they sent the kickers to a separate field and had them kick 20, you know, live attempts, and we charted all of them. These guys took only three attempts each during practice that counted, you know, quote unquote counted. One was a short one inside an extra point range, and all three of them made it. They pushed one back to a mid-range yard, like 40 to 45 yards. All three of them made it, and then they went long, like 60 yards. And the only guy who missed was the new guy, Eddie Pinheiro. And so it was just sort of a reminder that, yeah, you know, this trade that the Bears pulled off with the Raiders after this rookie camp, that wasn't the end point of this. It's going to continue. I think what they need to make sure that they're really honed in on for the rest of the offseason program, so we're talking through mid-June, figure out who you're going to take to camp. You don't necessarily need to find your guy, of course, because the games tell you what you need to know, who's going to make the kicks in the preseason games, but who do you want to give that opportunity to? And I just don't think you can take three guys to the preseason. I think you've got to narrow it down to two guys and then let them kick it out in the games.
Is this it? It's going to be one of these three guys? I mean, are they going to wait and see cuts? Could they be signing someone on the verge of the season? What's going to happen with that position? It's really an interesting idea.
I think that you can't rule that stuff out. I mean, for example, you know, the Ravens are stashing this kicker, Kare Vedvik, who had a tremendous preseason before he got in a, you know, street fight last year and ended up on injured reserve. The Ravens have said they want to trade him at the end of the preseason. So maybe if the Bears aren't convinced about their options, they look at a player like that. Robbie, I just don't see that happening. No. He's going to be too expensive, and the Bears, you know, the best case scenario for them is to find a cheap kicker, knowing what they've invested already in Parkey, but even beyond that, knowing what's coming with Mitch and his contract and Eddie Jackson and that contract and Tariq Cohen at that contract. They want a young, cheap guy that they can bring along and build with this team. That's their best case scenario. And they're going to let the cheap options play out way before they hit some type of panic button or give up a lot to try to, let's say, acquire Robbie, who I just don't see coming back to the Bears.
We've talked a lot about James Daniels becoming the center and Cody Whitehair the left guard. Other position changes included Taquan Mizell from running back to wide receiver, Bradley Sowell from swing tackle to tight end. Didn't they just make it more difficult for Sowell and Mizell to make the team?
I think so. I mean, when you know, you guys know, when you change positions, a player changes positions, it's usually not because they're great at the position they're moving from, right? And some of these work out. You know, they moved Roy Robertson-Harris to the defensive line, and he's been a really good player for them. So we'll see if Sowell's athleticism can maybe carry him to a roster spot where they don't really have a lot of depth at that blocking tight end spot. Mizell, I mean, that's a loaded receiver position. This is, to me, as good as just, you know, sealing his fate. It's just hard to see him making the team there. But with Sowell, it's a little more interesting because they just don't have the depth, and he is athletic. He's going to have to change his body a little bit. But behind Adam Shaheen, who has his own set of questions, that position, while I don't think the Super Bowl hinges on the blocking tight end, it will be something to watch as the offense continues to come together and they try to form it the way Nagy wants it.
You could also be a blocking tight end and an emergency tackle on a game day roster. Yeah. I mean, I
would think so.
Yeah,
I would think so.
It's a valuable thing to have in a way.
And he played that sixth offensive lineman, you know, role where he'd come in as eligible at times last year. So he's super athletic. He's smart. He can block, which is the main responsibility for that position. So I understand why they did it. They don't have the depth there. And if Adam Shaheen got hurt, I don't think anybody would be surprised. He's been injured throughout his career, so maybe he gets an elevated opportunity as we get into August.
Anybody else stand out? Mike Davis running with the number one offense?
Well, you know, the running backs, just because you can't tackle and you can't hit, you don't really get to see what those guys do as much. What I was more interested to see was what they were doing in practice with three guys, Tariq Cohen, David Montgomery, and Cordarrelle Patterson. And those guys were everywhere. They're everywhere, just like they were advertised as being. I mean, you'd see Cordarrelle Patterson jump in with the running backs for position drills, and David Montgomery jump in with the receivers for position drills, just like they said they would. And so here you go. You've got your conventional pieces, you know, your Mike Davis, your Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, but then you've got these other guys that they can move around a lot. They can use in different ways to try to exploit these matchups. And suddenly, they flip the receiver position. Now you see they flip the running back position. And so the next point is, it's got to be Mitch. It's got to be Mitch's command and sharpness, his timing, his accuracy. We'll get a feel for that as camp goes on. You know, we can't get 10 days into camp like we did last year, and Mitch has thrown an interception every day. You know, at this point, they've built around him. He's got to lift these other guys up. So in looking at those little chess pieces, that was interesting. And then now it's just a matter of keeping our eyes on Mitch.
Cordarrelle Patterson is, I think, one of the real interesting stories here because, again, I'll just call him Weapon. I don't know what you call him, but that seems to be as good a position as any for the guy.
And the Bears are very self-assured because of the due diligence they did on him and the thinking ahead of time about his role. You look at Cordarrelle's career, and he didn't get a second contract with the Vikings or the Raiders or the Patriots. I mean, he hasn't stuck. He hasn't had staying power. He's a first-round pick that has not latched on. And the Bears believe it's because the role has never been tailored enough. And by that, I also mean simplified enough, you know, pared down enough for him, where you make it easy for him on the field to do what he does best, which is straight line speed. So we're talking plays out of the backfield, the jet sweep stuff, motion, deep patterns, and also, you know, screens, things like that. But you can just create packages for him, and you don't have to make him a number one receiver. You don't have to make him your number three receiver. So, yeah, I'm with you, Mully. They'll move him around. They feel like they have a very specific idea of how to use him, and that's going to have to come out. We probably won't get a great look at that until training camp and then, you know, skip to the regular season. They won't show that stuff in preseason, but I'm with you. He adds that diversity and enables the creativity that they want.
Great stuff. Appreciate it, Rich.
Thanks, Rich.
Have a great holiday weekend, guys.
You too.
Can't wait to see your list. Very excited about the list. I want to compare all lists and then decide how I feel. Maybe I'll put together my own list.
All right.
No.
And we'll compare yours.
Well, you'd have to put together your list, and then we'd have to argue about it, and that would take too much time.
There's too many lists.
Nobody wants homework over the holiday weekend.
Yeah. We could put together, Dustin could put together his list. That would just be basically all the offensive guards in team history.
Except Garza.
With the occasional center.
Revisori, Noah Jackson.
You wouldn't even do tackles, would you?
Just guards, interior linemen.
Here's a teaser for the list. I just had a quickie conversation with Rich Campbell off the air.
Yeah.
And I loved how you named it the Dan and Don 100. I'm going to just give the tip of the cap to their list for one reason, and we'll find out about that later as they start releasing the list. If you've been listening closely, for the listeners, I know you guys are, been listening closely, you'll know why I'm going to give them the tip of the cap.
Okay.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.